Welcome to Films and Stuff with your hosts, Pete Mitchell and Ethan Hunt.
Ethan.
Pete, we finished almost simultaneously episode one of Amazon's Wheel of Time. Give me your thoughts.
It's interesting.
Okay.
And I think the cynic in me would think it's a little bit formulaic.
Yeah.
In the sense that we have a pseudo-medieval fantasy realm. We have an all...
There's a lot of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, like a little bit of Game of Thrones, a little bit of Lord of the Rings, a little bit of, you know, these typical like fantasy, science fiction, epic kind of things.
Yeah.
Like
middle age type of swords and dungeons and dragons and demons.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sold on it, to be honest. Having seen the first episode, again, spoiler alert, guys, apparently a woman or women-based society, like... It's much more unlike today's society, which is...
Yeah, so let's unpack it. What exactly is going on? Because it jumps into things very, very quickly. It's not a slow burn. It dives into a lot of stuff. But to be honest, I kind of get it. But you tell me what it is. What's the background to this?
You're asking the wrong guy because I'm not 100% sure either.
Okay.
I get the feeling that, you know, all the women... have to do some kind of rite of passage.
Yeah.
Right? And where they're thrown into a river and have to survive it or go through some experience with it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look like the men are subservient to the women, but it looks like they certainly have far more power than you would expect of, you know, the typical medieval times that the show is depicted in. You are told there's some great evil coming, kind of like, in Lord of the Rings. You don't see any of it. You don't see the background of it or the backstory of it. You're just told it's there. And of course, you know, why wouldn't you believe it? It's part of the story. And you're told that there's this all-powerful group of, female warriors that are like sorcerers almost. Not, I don't want to say witches, but they seem like they're sorcerers of some kind who can harness the power of nature or spirits or some life force. It's almost a little force power like. And Rosamund Pike is one of them, and she's seeking
It's the only cast member that I recognize.
Yeah, likewise.
Am I wrong? Is there anyone else that you say, hey, I know?
No, but does Rand remind you a lot of Hayden Christensen from Star Wars or no?
Yeah. There's, everyone is cast kind of as a doppelganger of someone who seems to be kind of like, well-known. So, I can see that. But Rosamund Pike, who's obviously the lead, is the only person that I recall or that I recognize. And I think a few things. What you said actually is exactly kind of what I get from this. And, they're looking for this, similar to like The Matrix. They're looking for the one. But in this case, the one is like this evil thing. And they're basically kind of going from village to village to see if they can find someone who was born approximately X number of years ago, would now becoming an adult. And it's not clear what they want to do, kill them or convert them or find them or something before this person kind of, starts to destroy the earth. I'm having problems with everyone's name. I don't recall. Game of Thrones is so long ago. That's 10 plus years ago that we started watching it. I don't recall like Game of Thrones if they were really clear on names, but here I'm having a lot of problems understanding who is who, I kind of understand, that's...
Yeah, but I think that's because it's also just the first episode.
Yeah.
It'll grow. It's the same problem I had with For All Mankind in the first season, too.
All right. Yeah.
In the first episode, you're just like, you're getting to grips with who each person is, And then by the end of the season, you know exactly who everyone is and you have an idea. So that's not such a big deal. I'm having more fundamental problems so far in the sense that it's nothing they've presented is unique or new.
Yeah.
The CGI and the effects look kind of...
It went pretty fast.
At the moment.
To be honest. I mean, we're giving away spoilers, but I mean, there's already like a pretty big clash between, you know, Rosamund and the lady sorcerers and these bad guy.
These minotaur creatures?
Yeah, they're like minotaurs.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, again, the costume designer, FX designs doesn't look great. And forget about that. Just the characters. In the story, you find out, in the episode, you find out that there are four guys that you meet throughout the episode. One of them is the one. She doesn't know who. We don't know who, obviously. But why one of those four? No. We haven't, like, nothing has been alluded to from any of those characters why that they're special in any way, shape, or form. So I don't understand why it's those four, and they haven't foreshadowed a reason why it should be those four. You could have picked four random characters. It's fine. I will say I have to kind of watch a couple more episodes before I commit. But if you're asking me to make a judgment call on the basis of one episode, meh. Hmm. I mean, I wouldn't turn it off, but I wouldn't actively seek it out yet either.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I probably would have been more inclined. I feel the same way. And I don't want to turn our audience off because no one's going to listen to these anymore if we're so negative about the show that we continue to talk about. But I agree. Had this not been on Amazon, had it not been something you talked to me about, had it not been something that my brother talked to me about, the cast, the imagery, the synopsis would not have gotten me probably to watch this. Although I have to say kind of the pictures are not bad on the cover. In terms of the first episode, had they not had this big clash at the end, actually, I probably would have been more likely to continue it because at least I could have said, like, hey, I'm a little bit intrigued. I'm not really sure what's going on here, but, you know, there's maybe something. It's kind of slow. Let's see where this goes. But the fact that they kind of had this clash at the beginning, I kind of feel like that was, I mean, I'm sure that's not the climax, but it just kind of seemed like, well, now the mystery's out of the bag, you know. Kind of know what these things are. That really escalated
quickly. Yeah, it escalated a little too quickly. Well, I mean, we'll see. I get. Did you get what the Wheel of Time actually is?
No. Do you?
I think I picked it up. I'm not 100% sure. But you know how like they were lighting the lanterns to guide the souls back? So apparently I think... Yeah. So I've seen this in other mythologies and in other... Like even in video games actually. So the concept of the wheel is that when you die, your soul passes on into the great beyond where there's a giant wheel. It's a literal wheel. And what happens is as the wheel turns, your soul goes around it and you come back to your land as the soul comes back inhabited in a different person's body.
Mm.
And you don't remember anything from another person, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Rand's father was talking about or implying. Because someone asked the question, and I wonder how long it takes for the soul to come back. Forgive me, I don't remember the names. I just don't, you know, it's too soon for me to get really attached. I'm not really attached to any of these characters yet.
No. I feel like there was not enough time. Even kind of like the romances haven't burned long enough for me for them to feel genuine or to feel like anything to them. You know, we see kind of a couple and then someone dies. We see kind of son and father and then someone like dies. And I feel the same way that I really haven't had any attachments to anyone. Rosamund Pike is the only person, and her assistant, Lan, seem to be the only people that I really kind of feel like I know who they are. You know, like they're definitely good guys. Some type of like dragon or monster hunters, but everyone else I'm pretty cloudy about.
Yeah, it's, I'm trying not to be super cynical, but it just feels like, and maybe if the books have been written a long time ago, fine. I actually don't know when the books were written, but like if the books were written in the last like 15 to 20 years, my cynicism levels are off the chart only because I feel like that's formulaic in the sense like someone sitting there thinking, okay, what are the best elements of Lord of the Rings? What are the most interesting elements of Star Wars? What are the most interesting elements of any other fantasy movie or maybe even Game of Thrones? Yeah. Let's mix and match and put them all into one. Because on paper, conceptually, this looks like it should be a smash hit. But so far, based on what I've seen in the first episode, and again, the caveat is I haven't read the books. I don't know anything about. I never heard of this show at all until Amazon announced it was spending a bajillion dollars to make the series.
Yeah. I mean, if you're writing something, right, and Amazon comes to you and says, "Look, Pete, we need something." How do you introduce something with today's audience? Because it's really, I think, a challenge that everyone is comparing it to. It is Game of Thrones, or it is, you know, Lord of the Rings.
Tolkien or something.
Yeah, like, how do you start? Do you start, like, very, very slow? Do you start fast? Like, how do you start to build, like, this, you know, like, the attachment to the characters? How do we do it for Sopranos, for The Wire, for, you know, again, Game of Thrones, for Breaking Bad, for Better Call Saul? How do we do the slow burn where you can still keep an audience's attention, but at the same time?
I think what you do, which is unlike Game of Thrones, the other shows you mentioned, what they did was they focused on one guy and one guy alone. It allows you time to build a world and more importantly, the character's world around him or her. And when you have Walter White.
Breaking Bad focused on Walter White. And it went into excruciating detail in terms of his chemistry teaching classes, his car wash job, his wife, you know, her arts and crafts, you know, their use of the second credit card, then his son, then the daughter, then it introduced, I can't remember Hank. His brother-in-law's name, right? The DEA guy, Hank. Then it went a little bit like broader. So I agree. It went deep before it went wide.
And I think even Game of Thrones, even though it was a lot of characters, it was one family first, right? It was just about the Starks, even though it quickly became, it moved fast, don't get me wrong, but it started off in a very small setting to say, we're only talking about Winterfell, we're only talking about the Starks. And when we'll slowly add Starks, Lego bricks around it.
And so on and so forth.
Right. Yeah, and I think this, again, too early to tell, but my feeling is you're talking about four disparate characters in two disparate settings with a very complicated backstory. You know, it's so far, it seems like a lot.
I think there's also two things that visually are very difficult early on. And the first is darkness. You know, it's very hard. I mean, apart from the challenges of filming in darkness and proper lighting, but if you're really trying to introduce characters, I mean, it can be indoors, but it's a lot easier when there's a lot of light and you can kind of see the people and the surroundings. Darkness is really a difficult time to kind of get to know people. And then I think the second thing is, again, when you have an action sequence early on, action sequences move super fast, and it's also hard to kind of understand what's going on and get a sense of, you know, who did what and why they did it, you know, without going back, you know, repeatedly and breaking it down, you know, kind of like movement by movement. I think those are two things. If you're trying to kind of build a following, you should tend to avoid early on so that everyone kind of is able to, you know, catch up on things.
But anyway, so look, that's the first episode. It's a very quick 10, 15 minute synopsis. Yeah. Ethan, you're going to continue?
It's not... Yeah, I think we should continue.
I think so, too.
I think we should continue just because it doesn't make sense to stop after one episode.
Yeah.
The first episode of so many shows, be it, you know, Seinfeld, all the way to Breaking Bad, to Sopranos, to Game of Thrones, are often not the finest work. You know, they're trying to find their footing. And it is a challenge to introduce a complicated story in 50 minutes. So I think we're all a little bit sympathetic to that. I have to say, it hasn't done a great job of hooking me in like some other things have. Let's give it another 2 episodes to kind of see where we are and let the story kind of flesh itself out. Hopefully it expands itself and it draws me in a little bit, and let's see where we go from here. I mean, they got 9 episodes out. So, I mean, the story obviously has a lot more bandwidth in it. So let's see where it's going from here, because obviously this initial fight scene cannot be
an ultimate
battle, you know?
All right, so let's reconvene after we've seen episode 2 continue.
Let me just ask you, but let me ask one thing before we switch off. When we watched Foundation, can you recall how you felt after the first episode of Foundation?
Oh, I was feeling excited because I wanted to see where it was going to go next.
Yeah, I remember.
And.
Yeah, I remember I was
the happy. Hook for me.
Yeah, tell me.
No, the hook for me was seeing the footage of the Russians landing on the moon.
Oh, we're not talking about Foundation anymore. Now we're talking about.
Sorry, I'm so sorry, man. You got me confused with my Apple TV shows.
Oh my God. Where did the Russians?
Foundation
where did the
got
Russians
me.
End up? Father
no,
Day.
No, my mistake.
Father,
my mistake.
Father
I,
Day.
Oh, no, no, no. My credentials, my critiquing credentials, throwing out the window. No, for Foundation, the hook was, I think the hook came.
Did the lady go to the planet Triton? Is it Triton or Titan? Did she go the first episode or was it the second episode where she traveled there?
First episode. It was the first scene, actually.
All right. And was the elevator?
So for me, it was.
Yeah.
The space elevator exploding was the first. It was the hook.
In the first, that was the first episode.
That was also the first episode, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's interesting that we say that, because when we look back, that space elevator exploding was a seminal event, but that was kind of the first. I mean, now we don't even look at that as an event. Maybe this fight scene is kind of something similar to that, right?
Maybe, but it's to be determined.
Yeah. But I recall for Foundation, I was halfway through and I gave up. You know, you've got a lot more fortitude when it comes to shows and films than I do. I'm weak sauce, and God bless you, Pete. You've got some fortitude to you. But I was halfway done with the first episode of Foundation. You know, when they were just kind of like climbing the hill to look at the capsule, and I was done. I thought this is just too boring. I don't know why I thought that, but like honestly, at the beginning, it didn't captivate me, and you know, I was convinced to go back. And then I agree at the end of the first episode, then I was absolutely in. But I'm a little bit sympathetic though that I'm a little bit finicky when it comes to things like this. I mean, I'm probably a bad audience for that reason. With that in mind, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna give this one at least one other episode. And let's see if it can. Clarify some things to me.
I agree. Let's go through one more. Let's see how we feel after that. And we'll determine, or at least we'll see if we actually want to stick it through or not.
Okay. I'm in.
All right.
We'll talk to you.
Thanks, everyone.
Have a great day. Cheers.
See you soon. All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Films and Stuff. If you haven't already, please subscribe and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever podcasts are downloaded. Films and Stuff. There is no substitute.